Thank you, Lori. Thank you for singing. Appreciate that. Love love that song. You did a beautiful job. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're continuing our sermon that we started last Sunday night on forgiveness, and we gave it the title, The Choice is Yours. And basically what we're talking about is the choice to live a life that practices forgiveness, or the choice to live a life that doesn't, a life that holds grudges. And as you'll see, as we continue through this, you will notice that if you choose the latter, if you choose to live a life that never forgives, holds grudges, once you're hurt, you know, my little grandmother, she was such a funny lady, and she had so many phrases and so many things. I shared a few of them last night on Facebook, some of the things she would say. And I remember she'd say this. She would write you off. And now that didn't last very long. You know, she used to say something like, if anything happens to me, don't you dare call and interject whatever kid she was mad at the time. Don't you call Donald Ray. Don't you call Ann Ruth. And, you know, of course, it never lasted long. She was a very forgiving person. But if you choose to harbor bitterness and, you know, hold grudges and not be a forgiving person, I will show you biblically that it will cause regrets in your life. And, you know, life is too short, friend. Life is too short to not be a forgiving person. And as we look here in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll just read a few verses. Of course, the Apostle Paul, it's so important to keep it in the context to which the portion of Scripture is given. Paul is writing to a local assembly. It's a local church. If you think of us, a local church, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, we're a local church. The church here in Ephesus was a local assembly. So I say that because it was made up of people. And when you have a group of people, I promise you, you're going to have problems. Why is that? Because we're simply sinners saved by the grace of God. And you will run into situations. You will run into problems. You will run into things that can cause bitterness and can cause people perhaps to get their feelings hurt or misunderstandings and things. And that can lead to far worse things in your life as an individual if you choose not to be forgiving. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Apostle Paul writes here and he says, beginning in verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Now, have you ever thought about that? That you and I can grieve the Holy Spirit of Almighty God? You and I can grieve, think about this. You and I can grieve the third part of the Godhead. Wow. The Holy Spirit of God that lives in us, if you're born again. The Holy Spirit of God, as we talked about this morning, who when you repented of your sin and you place your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, the Holy Spirit came into your life. He came in, he dwelled you, and he now has taken up residence in your life, and he will be there all the way till you get to glory. What a great God that we have. What a wonderful God. And what's great about, so many things are great about the Holy Spirit of God being in us, is the fact that he leads, he guides, he directs our life. And I remember that today as I was talking to Shar Buja, we had a young lady trust Christ as her Savior after the morning service. Do you hear that? And she's actually, Heather is her name. She's been coming with her grandmother off and on for years. And, man, it was awesome. And we rejoice. And, you know, I said to Shar, and I say that for this reason. I said, thank you for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. She saw her, and so she went up and took a Bible and led her to Christ. And man, that's just such a blessing. So stay tender for all of us that know Christ. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Stay tender to his prodding. Stay tender to his leading and his direction in our life. And Paul goes on. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, verse 30, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he gets into, I believe, ways that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. You know, if I didn't know that this was the Bible, it kind of reminds me of what the world does. You know what I mean? If I didn't know contextually that this was written to a local assembly, you would think, at least I would think, that Paul's talking about those that do not know Jesus. But he's not. He's talking about believers in Christ. He's talking about members of this local body here in Ephesus. And he said, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then he says, verse 30, so the opposite of all that mess is this. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. And here we have it, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Father, I ask that you'll bless the reading of your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us, and he'll lead us again tonight. And God, I pray as we dig through this portion of Scripture, Lord, to be honest, not in a hurry. We want to take our time with this. We want to really examine what you say to us here. We want to really examine the words that you used and really the emphasis, God, of putting some things away, but also perhaps adding some things to our life. So, Father, help us to do so, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Now, what Paul's going to do for us is he's going to show us, first of all, the advantages of forgiveness. What are some advantages of forgiveness? Well, if you want to write some notes down, and when I preached this a while back, I used some information by a man by the name of F.B. Meyer. And F.B. Meyer, Paul Meyer. Paul Meyer was his name. And Paul Meyer wrote a book, Forgiveness, the Ultimate Miracle. And I'm using a lot of his material because it is absolutely phenomenal material. And really, he brings out some tremendous thoughts of what forgiveness is, what forgiveness is not. So when we talk about the advantages of forgiveness, what does it do? Well, Paul Meyer says it does. It's biblical proof. It's true that, you know, forgiveness brings freedom in your life. If you have Christ as your Savior and you choose not to be a forgiving person, here's what that does. That goes against your new nature. To be somebody that is forgiven of all of your sins, think about that. You and I that are born again, we've been forgiven of all of our sins. That's a good place to say hallelujah, man. We've been forgiven of every sin that we could ever commit. We've been forgiven of every sin we ever committed, we ever could commit. That's what the blood of Jesus did when God applied it to our lives and he imputed the righteousness of his Son into our lives. I mean, we've been forgiven. And to say that we, as a forgiving person, we are forgiven, and to say that we who are forgiven don't forgive, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. And again, I told you my story. I told you my testimony last week of really, truly holding on to bitterness and holding on to ill feelings toward my mom. And for years, I honestly, truly had thought that, oh, you know, I've moved on with my life and it, you know, doesn't affect me anymore. But man, I'm telling you, under God, sitting in my living room, listening to a series by Johnny Hunt on forgiveness and the Holy Spirit of God, buddy, he got my attention. And, you know, I started to say that the Holy Spirit of God had my number. No, he doesn't have a number. He has my name. And he knows exactly what I need to hear. And he knows exactly what I need as far as in that particular moment, what I needed in my life so that it would bring freedom in my life. Paul lists several sins, several things that we are to put away. He says there in verse 31, let all bitterness. Bitterness, what is bitterness? Bitterness is a smoldering resentment. It's a grudge-filled attitude, a spirit of irritability that brings you into the grip of animosity. And Meyer says it makes you sour. You ever met somebody that's kind of sour? Somebody that's, you know, just full of bitterness, and that they're mad at the world. They're irritable. I mean, anytime you get around them, they're often irritable. And that, man, you honestly sometimes hate being around it because it's kind of toxic and it's like a cancer. And I will say, in the context of Ephesians here, the bitterness literally, it indeed acts just like cancer does to a human body. Bitterness will act like cancer to a local church. When you put people, you get people that are bitter. You know, birds of a feather sometimes flock together, and you watch a bitter person, and here's a bitter person, and here's a bitter person, and man, you get them together, and they can't stand each other. But they have, you know, they're so miserable, and they're just kind of aggravated with the world. They're aggravated, regardless what can cause bitterness. Well, there's a lot of things that can cause bitterness, but in the context of what we're dealing with tonight, unforgiveness will absolutely cause bitterness in your life. That smoldering resentment, that grudge-filled attitude, carrying a grudge, you know, just choosing not to forgive and choosing to live your life as a scorekeeper. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? This honestly, that type of character, that type of living our life, a scorekeeping kind of life, that can sometimes creep into marriages. And that's bad. That can be very dangerous. That can be very detrimental to your marriage. And but in the scorekeeping, meaning, you know, we keep a record of wrongs. We keep score if somebody hurts us. We keep score if somebody is, you know, has done something to us. And it's amazing because before long, you can keep a score that may be 20 years. Oh, preacher, I'm mad at that guy. Why are you mad at that guy? Well, he hurt me. And often I'm thinking, okay, last week? No, man, he hurt me 25 years ago, and I've never gotten over it. Are you kidding me? Seriously? And I say that because, listen, that happened to me. I mean, the hurt that I experienced, man, I kept a grudge, and I held a grudge, and I was bitter. And every time I'd think about my mom or in the situations, man, it would really, it would eat me up. Then he uses another word. So we talked about the fact that, you know, this advantage of forgiveness, it brings freedom in our life. So it brings freedom from bitterness. If we choose to be a forgiving person, I'm telling you, under God, it will free you from bitterness in your life. You say, and now listen, there may be some, and I know this because I've had people say this. You may be sitting here or watching the internet, and maybe in your heart, you're not saying it out loud, but maybe in your heart, you're thinking, but Pastor, you have no idea what the person did to me. You have no idea what the person said to me. That may be true. But regardless of what has been done to you or what has been said to you or what has hurt you, regardless of all that, and I'm not saying it's not, you don't have, what's the phrase? How can I back this up? I want to back it up because I want to be clear on this. Maybe there's an injury. Remember, that's what happens. You get injured. You get hurt. And regardless of what type of hurt is, you've been hurt. And what can happen is it can turn into bitterness when we then say, well, you know what? I'm not going to forgive that person because they do not deserve my forgiveness. It has nothing to do with deserving. It has nothing to do with whether they deserve it or not. It has everything to do is with the fact of are you going to choose to be free? Are you going to choose to be locked up spiritually, locked up in a spiritual prison because you're holding grudges? Now, if we were to fast forward in the text, what did Paul say? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I know I don't have to remind any of us in this room of how wonderful your salvation is, but sweet friend, it is a wonderful thing. Salvation in Jesus is a wonderful thing. To know that I'm on my way to heaven. And listen, you say, well, Pastor, the person that hurt me, they do not deserve my forgiveness. Oh, let me speak into that. Contextually, we didn't deserve Jesus' forgiveness. None of us did. We didn't deserve it. You do know that God, He blesses us, and He does often in our lives. He does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask, all that we could ever think. That's the kind of God that He is. I rejoiced with Brother Travis Lane in their church today. They had what they called the miracle offering. We do a Joash offering. They do a miracle offering. They took in $95,000. Isn't that amazing? And over $95,000 they took in. They're in the middle of a building program. They're building a new sanctuary, and they need it. They're currently doing two services. And, man, I said to him, I said, man, we rejoice with you. Emmanuel Baptist rejoices with you all. And you say, how does that go with the sermon? I have no idea, but I just wanted to interject that because it thrilled my soul when I saw that. Bitterness. Wrath. What is wrath? He says, let bitterness be put away. Let wrath be put away. Wrath, it carries with it the idea of wild rage, passion of the moment. You know, this wild rage. You ever seen people that just fly off the handle? Paul says, now those that say, well, Pastor, that's just the way I am. Well, repent of it. Amen? Repent of that and ask God to help you. And ask the Holy Spirit of God to bring that under control in your life. Because, friend, God can do that in your life. Just as a pastor, that's the way my dad was. That's the way his dad was. That's the way my mother was, her mother was. You know, we're just kind of that type of person. Listen, let me just say something to you. And I was speaking to that because if we're not careful, we can begin to start to justify our behavior that's wrong simply because, well, that's just the way I've always been. My Bible tells me, and I said it to you today, my Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? A new creation in Jesus. You do not have to act like you used to act. You don't have to do that any longer because Jesus is in your life. And if he's in your life, friend, he loves to show up. He loves to show out in your life. And again, we're in the context of a local church setting. Let all bitterness, in a local church setting, let all bitterness be put away from you. Wrath. Wild rages. Then he uses another word. Anger. Anger carries with it the internal smoldering. A subtle and deep feeling. You know, you ever been... You ever seen folks that are angry? Man, they're just burning up on the inside. They're ready to blow at any moment. Listen, we got to be careful. You say, why, preacher? Well, let me look at the text, and I want us to back up for a second here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Dr. Adrian Rogers, in that speaking of that verse, he talks about, he kind of illustrates of giving place to the devil by imagining yourself having maybe, let's say, a 100-acre farm. And imagine you began to sell your farm, but you're only selling an acre of that 100 acres. And he said, when it comes to the devil, here's what the devil wants to do. The devil, he doesn't want just any acre. He wants the acre right in the middle of your farm. And why is that? Because right in the middle of your farm, man, he knows he can affect all the rest of it. What is the point I'm making here? What is the point I believe that Paul is trying to get here? Paul is trying to tell us, don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give the devil an opportunity. He talked about the Holy Spirit of God in these verses. He's talked about the devil in these verses. The Holy Spirit of God, who we can grieve. The devil, who we can be used of if we're not careful. So Paul says, don't give him a place. Don't give him an advantage. Don't give him an area in your life that he can infiltrate. And if he infiltrates it, it can affect not only you, but Hebrews tells us, it can poison others. So Paul says, you know, be careful. Don't allow that. And again, how are all these things tied together? They're often the result of unforgiveness. They're often the result of being hurt and choosing not to forgive, but choosing to hold a grudge. That will destroy your marriage if that's the way you live in your marriage. It can destroy your marriage. It can destroy this unforgiveness, can destroy friendships. You know, when it comes to friendships, I have two best friends as far as in ministry, Andy Daugherty and Jeff Fain. The guys got on me last week. They said, "Preacher, you don't talk about Jeff Fain or Andy Daugherty anymore." I know, but I'll talk about them. But here, we're great friends. I mean, tremendous friends. But let me let you on a little secret. Do you know over the years, all three of us, at one way, shape, or form, have disappointed each other? You know that? Well, friends shouldn't do that. Listen, yeah, we're friends, but we're also sinners saved by God's grace at best. And sometimes there's disappointments. Sometimes there's, you know, being let down. Sometimes you're hurt because maybe an unrealistic expectation was placed on the friendship that really shouldn't have been placed on the friendship. And therefore, you're disappointed or you're hurt. But you know what? I can honestly stand here tonight and tell you I have absolutely no unforgiveness toward those two fellas. I love Brother Jeff to death. I scheduled him for a revival, Bill, at my first church, Westview Baptist. Scheduling for a tent revival, Will. You guys used to come. Cheryl used to sing. He never showed up. He never came. So I'm like, what are we going to do? Well, I preached the first two nights of the meeting, and Andy finished it up. You say, well, Pastor, what in the world? I mean, surely you got mad. I was aggravated, man. I was really aggravated. But here's what I learned about Brother Jeff. You got to tell him the revival's a week earlier. That's what you got to tell him. And you may get him there. He is ADD to the 100th degree, man. And just kind of got, you know, his schedule just kind of had a situation, it is what it is. And I ain't going to lie, when that happened, I thought to myself, man, he's my friend and he's done this to me. I've got people that aren't my friends that sometimes do far, far worse than that. But I can tell you this, I chose to forgive him. You know what, I've hurt him before. I've hurt Andy before. I've said things that I shouldn't have said, and maybe it was taken out of context regardless. But I can tell you tonight, and I sincerely mean this, and I think they would stand here and tell you this, that they would tell you tonight that they have absolutely no ill feelings toward me, that they have a forgiving spirit. They don't have unforgiveness towards me. We love each other. I think we can say this unconditionally in our friendship. You say, Pastor, why are you telling us all that? I'm telling you that because in the context of relationships, there sometimes will be injuries. There sometimes, even in the best of friends, will be disappointments. There sometimes will be situations where maybe due to that, as we said, unrealistic expectation, maybe that you placed on the friendship, you know, that, you know, you got let down. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to throw it all away? Are you going to throw that friendship away because you're hurt? Or are you going to choose to forgive? Oh, by the way, and be like Jesus, right? Jesus forgives. God forgives, does he not? He forgives, friend. And his forgiveness, he forgives fully. He forgives, I mean, he would much rather, and I tell you this because it's biblically true, God would much rather forgive than discipline. He would much rather forgive. And Johnny Hunt says, what sins you uncover, God will cover. What sins you cover, God will uncover. So we have to be ever vigilant to be careful of how we live our life. You see the advantages of being a forgiving person. So he talks about anger, but then he mentions another one. Clamor. Clamor is the outcry of strife. It's the public outburst. The public outburst that reveals loss of control. That's a good definition. Clamor. It's the outcry of strife. The public outburst that reveals loss of control. I've said for years that if you want to know what's in a person, just upset them. Get them mad. And my pastor used this illustration. I think it's a perfect illustration. If I were to go home and I were to knock over my ketchup bottle, I do not expect mustard to come out of my ketchup bottle. Right? I expect ketchup to come out of my ketchup bottle. Now, on the other side of that, if I turn over my jar of mustard, I don't expect ketchup to come out of there. I expect mustard to come. He said, Pastor, you're insulting our intelligence. No, I'm just trying to illustrate a point. That's why we have to be careful when we get upset. Jesus already said in this text, be angry and sin not. You can be angry about things. You know, you can have a holy anger. Jesus, when he went to the temple and they were gambling in the temple, what did he do? I mean, he threw out the money changers and, you know, he drove them out. And he had a holy anger against them making the temple of the Lord basically a den of thieves. And so you can have anger and it can be a holy anger. But you have to be careful. And you'll find that these kind of lead to each one of these leads up to the next one. Bitterness can turn into wrath. You get bitter of soul, and man, all of a sudden, you go into a wild rage, you know, passionate rage for a moment. The wrath could turn to anger, anger, that internal smoldering, a subtle and a deep feeling. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what people get aggravated by. Honestly. It cracks me up. Ryan and I were talking one time. We had a situation in the church. And he came to me and said, Pastor, he said, apparently this person got upset about, I'm not going to say what it was about. But to me, I thought, man, that is so silly. But I didn't want to just kind of brush off their feelings. No, I wouldn't do that. I try to take it. Okay, well, how can we fix this? And so we addressed it and we took care of it. And as far as I know, there's no more issue with it. But it's amazing sometimes. But as you'll see in this text, and I'm going to end with this verse, these few thoughts. You know, bitterness, then it'll turn to often, if it's left unchecked in your life, if it's left to smolder, if it's left to, you know, kind of like a fire does. You know, you start and you begins to smolder, begins to, you know, you start that fire. You don't just start a fire and boom. No, you often, like my grandmother and grandfather used to do, they had kindling. They'd put paper in there, put the kindling on top, and they'd get that started. And then they would add some small, we had a coal stoves, they'd add some small coal. And then as that got burning hotter and hotter and hotter, then they would put the bigger block coal in there. And that's a perfect illustration, friend, for how it can spiral, bitterness can spiral out of control in our life if we leave it unchecked, if we leave it unconfessed, and if we seek not God's forgiveness of our bitterness. You see, one of the dangers you can do, and I've been there, you can start justifying your bitterness. There is no justification for bitterness. God's forgiven you of everything. Everything. And in the context of relationships, bitterness will destroy you. Very rarely does it destroy the person you're bitter at. It destroys you. It will affect, I promise you, it will affect your relationships with members in the church. It will affect relationships in your home. It will absolutely affect in a negative way often your marital relationship. And I know sometimes, and I've seen this, and this is not good, and I've counseled against this. People, they'll get mad at somebody in the church, and then they'll just say, well, preacher, we're leaving the church. Why are you leaving the church? Well, so-and-so hurt me. Okay, here's what you're going to find. I promise you, this probably is going to happen. You leave the church because you're upset because somebody hurt you. You're going to go to another church. Guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to hurt you over there. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because here's what I know about my Lord. My Lord loves you too much to allow us to sin successfully. And if we think that we can just, you know, we'll just jump to another ship, we'll just jump and just, you know, I can put it away from me. No, friend, it's going to start with bitterness. I'm telling you, it's going to smolder. It's going to fester in your life like a splinter would when you were growing up. Remember, you get a splinter, and if you left it, and you know, I used to hate telling my grandmother I had a splinter because I knew what she's going to do. She's going to go get a needle, right? A needle, and she's going to dig it out. And I was going to squall like a banshee. I mean, I would. And she would dig it out. And I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. You're trying to kill me, Big Rose. Hold still. Quit fidgeting, she'd say. And she'd get it out. And it hurt at the moment to get it out. But once it was out and you give it a little time,
it heals. And it heals a lot faster when you get it out than it does if you leave it in there. You leave it in there, it gets more painful. Let me really drive home my point. It can get pus around it. You, Lord, preach, I'm about to throw up. I know I shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't use pus in a sermon because it's really disgusting. But, I mean, it can fester. Your skin gets all red and starts to hurt. And, man, it just hurts you. You got to get it out of there. Well, friend, now in comparison, I promise you that's what bitterness will do. Bitterness will destroy you. It'll eat you up, man. It will eat you up. It'll ruin. It can ruin your relationships with people. It can cause. Well, let's look at all these. Bitterness then can turn to wrath. Can turn to anger. It can turn to clamor. This public outburst that reveals a loss of control. You see people, and oftentimes the ones that sometimes fly off the handle, they're not fly. You just happen to be in their crosshairs at the moment. And often what happens is, now granted, sometimes it happens about a certain situation, but sometimes you may not be the reason at all. They may be bitter. I mean, seriously, they may be bitter at a parent when they were a child that they got hurt, or they may be bitter at a spouse that 20 years ago may have hurt them, and they're just kind of blowing up at you because they've never confessed the sin to God and allowed God to infuse it with his mercy, infuse it with his grace, and therefore bring healing into that situation. And because they haven't repented and confessed that, their bitterness, it's turned to bitterness, like Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 12, I believe it is. Wrath, it turns to anger, it turns to clamor. And then look what else it does. He said, put that away, but then also put evil speaking away. Evil speaking carries the idea of slander. Defamation of someone that comes from a heart of bitterness. You start building your team. I've often said it like that. You start telling people about how much of a scoundrel the person you're mad at is. You start then perhaps start playing Holy Spirit. And that's dangerous. When you start saying, well, I don't think there's any way in the world that person can be saved. Well, first of all, that's not your call. That's God's. So be very careful of playing Holy Spirit. Well, preacher, if they were saved, they wouldn't have. Listen, friend, it's only by the grace of God you haven't. And I haven't done things perhaps like that or worse. You got to keep it in the proper context. And you got to really flesh this out to understand it's only by God's grace it hasn't happened to you. But understand something. It can happen to you. Remember, you were taught growing up, be careful, make your words sweet because you may have to eat them one day. I used to preach against chihuahuas. I used to preach against texting. Whew. But now I've been set free. Evil speaking. You began to defame someone. You began to do a character assassination. It amazes me. I'm telling you. It amazes me. There was a situation we had several years ago. Somebody started coming to our church. And I've said this to everybody. Listen, when you come to Emmanuel, I promise you under God, when you come to Emmanuel, you come with a clean slate. I've learned a long time ago, pastors are some of the worst gossips in town, and they will often call other pastors to rip a person to pieces because they've left their church. Listen, nothing good comes about that. So I learned early on in my pastorate that when people come, if God leads them, and they come to Emmanuel, they come with a clean slate. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, that applies to everybody. That applies to everyone. And I heard of a situation. I kind of saw it, but I didn't hear it necessarily, but I kind of saw it going on. And a person started coming and started coming to our church and started liking our church. And man, it's a blessing to have that person come. And then I started watching some of the mean old hens. Mean women. I said, Pastor, you better be careful. When you start talking about women, it gets bad. I'm just going to call it what it is. Mean, bitter, disgruntled, a couple of ladies. And in the back of the church, they start saying things like this. Why is he here? He shouldn't be here. And I thought, when I got wind of this and I found out about this, I thought to myself, I should have kicked your hind into the curb a long time ago. You say, Pastor, whoa, wait a minute. That gets you upset. It absolutely does. And I tell you, one of the things that can destroy a church is slander. Start gossiping about people. Start saying things about people. And start, you know, defaming their character. Because here's what you got to understand. God's forgiven all of us, if we're born again, he's forgiven all of us of some bad stuff. Hasn't he? You say, well, I'm not as bad as that one next to me. Listen. You say, Pastor, I've never killed anybody. Okay, have you ever thought about killing somebody? Well, Pastor, listen, friend. It's only by God's grace, and I know I've said that 100 times, and I promise you I'll try to say it 100 more times in my pastoring here. It's only by the grace of God we haven't done that or far worse. And I remember talking to this person. I remember talking to these ladies, and I said to them one time, we had a situation, and they were just freaking out, man. And I was recovering from a knee surgery, so I was here. I was kind of seated. Couldn't really get up and go anywhere. So I said, hey, go get two of these ladies for me. And I'm just telling you. They're no longer here, so I think I can say this. But I'm illustrating this point. So they come up, and I looked right at them, Miss Marcia, with all the humbleness I could and with all the sweet spirit I could muster. And I looked right at them, Bill, and I said, quit being so mean. I said, why are you being so mean? Oh, you could have heard a pin drop. And, man, they got real quiet. I said, leave them alone. I said, quit aggravating them. Leave the people alone. Quit being mean-spirited. You say, preacher, you did that? You better believe I did that. Because it was sowing discord in the body. It was causing division in the body. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, I deal with stuff like that. I deal with it tenderly first. And I promise you, you know me, you know my heart before God. I'm not a king of a kingdom. I'm not a dictator. God is my witness. You know me. I'm not that. But I take very serious God's body here. And I take very serious the danger of discord. The danger, you know what discord is a picture, right? That word paints a picture for us. It carries with it the idea of a bone out of joint. You ever had a bone go out of joint? Hallelujah, brother. You'll shout praises unto Jesus if you've ever had your knee pop out of place. Man, that'll bless you. I'm telling you, that'll bless you. Or have an arm go out of a place. My little sister, Shelly, she's little. She's older than me, but she's always little. She can still beat me up to this day, I promise you. She's mean as a green snake. So why are you talking about her? I'm just telling you the truth. She used to pull my arm out of place, Pat, all the time. She'd get me on the bed when we were little, and she'd jerk my arm, and it'd pop out of place, and I'd scream like I was crazy. Ah! Shelly Sue, I'm going to whoop you for hurting your little brother. Didn't matter. She never got whooped. Pray for me. I've forgiven her, I think. I think. But man, you ever have a bone go out of place, it hurts. Now again, that word is a word that Paul uses of a bone out of joint. He uses that in the context of church membership, church relationships. He said, you got to be very careful. Don't schism, I think, is the actual word. Schism. Paul told the church at Corinth that he heard that there were schisms in the body. There's a lot of bones out of joint. He said, Pastor, what is the... And he uses the last word as the word malice. There in verse 31. Put away from you with all malice. Malice speaks of evil. Carries the idea of the root of all the vices, if you will. The benefits or the advantages of forgiveness. It'll keep you from getting all these. It will. It'll keep you from getting all these. I don't want to be a bitter person. I don't. I don't want to be a bitter person. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to be somebody, God is my witness, I do not want to be somebody that flies off the handle. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I'm just being truthful, and I'm just trying to be vulnerable here tonight.
If you ask my kids and you ask my wife, sometimes I have flown off the handle. Sometimes I have, you know, been angry. Sometimes I have said things I shouldn't have. And I promise you, often it stems from getting bitter about something. Often it has nothing to do with my kids, has nothing to do with my wife. Has everything to do with them chihuahuas. Just kidding. Brother Gary's choking up right there. Has nothing to do with my family. It has everything to do with another situation. And my wife sometimes, she checks me on it. You say, we know Buttercup. She's tough. Yes, she is. To put up with me for as long as he has, you have to be a tough person. Or you have to know karate, and she knows both. But anyway, she's checked me on it. And she's many times said, honey, there's something. What's going on? You're bitter. You're angry. You know what you don't want to hear when you're angry? You don't want to hear that you're angry, right? You don't want anybody to tell you're angry. When somebody says you're yelling, I'm not yelling. You know, if you want to hear yelling, I'll show you yelling. And you act foolish. Jen snorted. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me that goes on in your house? I'm not saying it goes on in my house, but I've heard that it has. I mean, just telling you. And I'm not excusing my sin. I promise you. I try to keep a short account of my sin. I try to repent. I mean that under God. With my kids, you can ask my kids. If I've said something to them out of anger, or if I've brought discipline in their life. And by the way, you know what discipline nowadays is with a teenager? Give me your phone. Lord have mercy, my cell phone. Yep, give me your phone. You don't even have to take it now. You just shut it off. It's amazing what Verizon will let you do. Right? Right? No, but I promise you, whenever I've been like that, I mean it. I tried to go to my wife and say, hey, babe, I'm sorry. Please forgive me of this and that. And my kids, hey, I'm sorry, guys. I shouldn't have done that. And, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm not excusing my behavior, but I try to live like that in my family. I also try to practice that and live like that in my ministry, in my pastoring. I'm not perfect by no means, not justifying my behavior, but if I've hurt people, God is my witness. If I find out that I've hurt someone unintentionally, man, it eats at me like a cancer, and I try to resolve it, and I try to, hey, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me of that? You say, Pastor, you're a pastor. You shouldn't be hurting people. Listen, I don't do it intentionally. It's not that I try to do it intentionally, but it happens. I'm not proud of it. You say, Pastor, you're a pastor. Yeah, you're right. That's my title. That's the office I hold. I know that. It says that on the sign outside. You know that too, right? But I'm also a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to die. My sins have been forgiven. And man, I fall so short often. But I try to be tender to the Holy Spirit. I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, sometimes the Holy Spirit, I mean this, sometimes the Holy Spirit, you'll do something, you'll act a certain way, and it's as if the Holy Spirit of God says, why are you being such a jerk? Man, he gets a hold of you, and he convicts you. He does in my life. He brings conviction in my life, and I feel so awful about it. Yeah, you're right, Lord. You're telling me this because you're my friend. You're telling me this, God, because you want to improve my relationships with your people. Jesus said the greatest commandments in Scripture are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind. And second is likened to this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a vertical relationship. There's also a horizontal relationship. And if one of those relationships isn't where it needs to be, it will affect the other. I promise you it will. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken to your heart that you will respond just like today. And, Heather trusted Christ as her Savior. And, man, we rejoice and we thank God for that. I talked to her a little bit today about baptism. And so you pray that she'll keep coming back and we're able to disciple her and grow her in her faith. I'm thrilled to death for that. I told Shar, I said, I've been praying for her for years. And to see God use Shar to lead her to Jesus, that thrills my soul. And it's amazing when you pray for somebody for a long time and then God saves the individual or God answers the prayer and you're surprised by it. I mean, I'm just being truthful, but man, what a blessing. Brother Ryan, what's your number, bud?
317.
317. You come as we sing.